Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio. Here's how it works. We do this twice a week live, and that's Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a live show that goes out over the weekends to the Talk America Radio Network, the Internet Conservative Radio Network as well. And there are various and other sundry places. There's a couple terrestrial stations. Now, I have that information. I don't know what's happened to it, and it's my own. Have nobody but myself to blame. I had it tacked up here, and then something happened, and it's not tacked up here anymore, and I can't find it. But we do have some terrestrial AM and FM talk radio stations that are carrying overnight packages of the Talk America Radio Network, and you need to go to the website, talkamericaradio.org, outstanding programming, outstanding hosts. I am privileged and humbled to be among them. And check them out. Now, like I said, there's three stations, and where they are, they work on either side of the Georgia-Florida line, and they serve that area, which is a pretty fat area. And like I said, they do Talk America Radio programming on those stations as well. And you can find us on Facebook. We have a presence there with Conservative Perspective, the archive page, the podcast archive page. And then we have trying to think where else. Well, that's probably enough for now. Anyway, good to be here with you. I am reminded of a saying a wise old cow dog friend of mine once said, steel endureth far longer than the mud flungeth upon it. What's it mean? Damn if I know, but it sounds pretty cool, and I like it. So we're going with that tonight. A lot of things have happened since last week. There's been a huge shakeup. Now, what's going to happen? Is there going to be people on TV and radio, but I'm not going to be one of them, who are going to tell you that the Trump White House is in chaos, it's in disarray, the inmates are running the asylums, that things are out of control, there are huge cracks that are appearing in the earth around the White House, fireballs are falling out of the sky, and Satan is going to come up and grab the Washington Monument and use it as a sex toy? None of that stuff is further from the truth. Okay? It's just not. First off, we talked a little bit about last week, Rex Tillerson. He's out at the State Department. He was an internationalist type. He was a globalist type. I'm reluctant to use that term, but it's the truth. He was, I don't want to say he's one of those one world order guys, but pretty much that's what he's looking at. And they look at economics globally, and the individual, the citizen, and the nation state really don't mean very much to those guys. To people like us, the citizen, the individual, the nation state, and the rights and the liberties guaranteed by said nation state, in this case, the United States of America. We're different. We have a different worldview, and our interests lie within what's in the best interest for the United States and her citizens. Well, he's gone. And the new guy that's going to be appointed by the president is a man named Mike Pompeo. Mike Pompeo, former head of the CIA, and looks like maybe, just maybe, he will be more capable and prepared to more faithfully execute Donald Trump's foreign policy vision. First thing we're going to talk about, though, and this is big. It's been big for a couple of days. It's still big now. I talked about it on the weekend show, and we're still going to talk about it. Why? Because this crap bears repeating. If I just say it once, if I just tell you about it one time, you're going to forget about it. It's not going to mean anything. It'll have no import. Got to let you know about this over and over. There's a lot of stuff happening out there, and they are banking. They are banking on the smoke and the obfuscation and wars and rumors of wars and information and disinformation to keep you off balance so you don't know which way to turn. Luckily, you have me. So here's what went on. Friday. Andrew McCabe, late Friday night, McCabe, former deputy director and then acting director of the FBI, was fired by Attorney General Jeff Sessions in a statement that reads as follows. And by the way, what I'm going to share with you now comes from a remarkably intelligent woman. I've been a fan of hers for a long time. The first time I saw her, she was writing for Town Hall, and she still does. I mean, she's syndicated. She's out there. And her name is Clarice Feldman. Man. This lady's got it together. She's like Denise Simon. If you don't know who Denise Simon is, trust me. This is an altogether article. And I read it over the weekend, and I used it on the Sunday show because it sets it right up. And this stuff is huge, guys. What's going on here? And Andrew McCabe, bear in mind, as we read this and we talk about these things, as we have talked about them over and over and over, I know sometimes you might get tired of it, but it bears repeating because we've got to commit it to memory. We got to know who these cats are. We got to know what they did. We have to understand and constantly be reminded of how serious it is, because the mainstream media wishes to benumb us with tales of prostitutes and rumors of prostitutes. Not dead air, I'm here. Here's Attorney General Sessions' statement. After an extensive and fair investigation, and according to Department of Justice procedure and the Department's Office of the Inspector General, who provided the report on allegations of misconduct, by Andrew McCabe to the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility. The FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility, excuse me. Not exactly sure, but I think that may have been part of a Jolly Rancher that went down the wrong way. So what we're going to do is I'm going to take another drink. I apologize for that remarkably unprofessional display. Here, let's do it again. Oh, that's much better. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. Again, after an extensive and fair investigation, and according to Department of Justice procedure, the department's Office of the Inspector General provided its report on allegations of misconduct by Andrew McCabe to the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility. The FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility then reviewed this report and the underlying documents and issued a disciplinary proposal recommending the dismissal of Mr. McCabe. Both the Office of the Inspector General and the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility reports concluded that Mr. McCabe had made an unauthorized disclosure to the news media and lacked candor, including under oath, on multiple occasions. The FBI expects every employee to adhere to the highest standards of honesty, integrity, and accountability. As the Office of Professional Responsibility proposal stated, all FBI employees know that lacking candor under oath results in dismissal, and that our integrity is our brand. So, pursuant to the Department Order 1202, and based on the report of the Inspector General, the findings of the FBI Office of Professional Responsibility, and the recommendation of the department's senior career official, I have terminated the employment of Andrew McCabe effective immediately. Now, in this statement, the operative phrase, and the one that we need to remember, is lacking candor under oath. What's that mean? Well, if it were you or I, the charge by a special prosecutor would be perjury. Ask Lewis Libby or ask General Mike Flynn. Now, of note, regardless of what the media will tell you about this, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, had nothing to do with this. The recommendation came from within the FBI itself, based on its analysis of the report that it received from the Justice Department's Inspector General, a Barack Obama appointee. Bear this in mind, specifically when you hear McCabe's response and the twist that the major media outlets are putting on the firing. Lacking candor under oath. Well, if someone lacks candor, what are they doing? Well, they're not being totally upfront. They're not being honest completely. They're being dishonest. If they're not being honest, then they're being dishonest. And if you're being dishonest, you're not being honest. Honest is being truthful. And if you're not being truthful, then you are lying under oath, which is a bad place to do that. So note also the under oath on multiple occasions. Okay, so we have lacking candor under oath and then under oath on multiple occasions. This suggests, but it doesn't necessarily prove, that McCabe was also interrogated by the outside lawyer that Attorney General Sessions appointed some time ago to look into the handling of the Clinton email matter by the FBI and Department of Justice officials that were involved in that. The Inspector General also has the power to administer oaths in the course of his investigation. Now, unlike Rex Tillerson, who found out through Twitter that he got canned, reportedly McCabe was given a couple of days notice of this intended action, and he was ready to, and he did quickly release the following statement, and I'm going to read this to you. I have been an FBI special agent for over 21 years. Spent half of that time investigating Russian organized crime as a street agent and supervisor in New York City. I've spent the second half of my career focusing on national security issues and protecting this country from terrorism. I served in some of the most challenging, demanding, investigative, and leadership roles in the FBI, and I was privileged to serve as deputy director during a particularly tough time. For the last year and a half, my family and I have been the targets of an unrelenting assault on our reputation and my service to this country. Articles to numerous account have leveled every sort of false, defamatory, and degrading allegation against us. The president's tweets have amplified and exacerbated it all. He called for my firing. He called for me to be stripped of my pension after more than 20 years of service, an almost $2 million pension, America. I think it's like 1.8 or something. And all along, we have said nothing, never wanting to distract from the mission of the FBI by addressing the lies told and repeated about us. No more. The righteous indignation just drips out of this, doesn't it? The investigation, he continues, by the Justice Department's Office of Inspector General has to be understood in the context of the attacks on my credibility. The investigation flows from my attempt to explain the FBI's involvement and my supervision of investigations involving Hillary Clinton. I was being portrayed in the media over and over as a political partisan. He is. Accused of closing down investigations under political pressure. He did. Those little parentheses things are mine. The FBI was portrayed as caving under that pressure and making decisions for political rather than law enforcement purposes. It did. Nothing, says McCabe, was further from the truth. In fact, this entire investigation stems from my efforts, fully authorized under FBI rules, to set the record straight on behalf of the Bureau and to make clear that we were continuing an investigation that people in the Department of Justice opposed. The Office of the Inspector General's investigations focused on information that I chose to share with a reporter through my public affairs officer and a legal counselor. As deputy director, I was one of only a few people who had the authority to do that. It was not a secret. It took place over several days, and others, including the director, whom at that time would have been James Comey. Were aware of this interaction with the reporter. It was the type of exchange with the media that the deputy director oversees several times a week. In fact, it was the same type of work that I continued to do under Director Ray at his request. They're talking about the current director, Christopher Ray. The investigation subsequently focused on who I talked to, when I talked to them, and so forth. And during these inquiries, I answered questions truthfully and as accurately as I could amidst the chaos that surrounded me, and when I thought my answers were misunderstood, I contacted investigators to correct them. Now, according to Ms. Feldman, there are some operative phrases within this statement as well. Number one, I answered questions as the first part of it, he's just being a big crybaby, is all that is. Victim. I answered questions as accurately as I could amidst the chaos that surrounded me. Really. Poor fella. Both Scooter Libby and General Flynn were working on many pressing issues and thought the FBI agents they were talking to were there on other matters, and they were entrapped. Even McCabe's underling Peter Strzok said, per James Comey's congressional testimony, they didn't think Flynn had intentionally lied, and the FBI account by one of the agents who interviewed Scooter Libby, and Libby lacked the advantage of seeing his contemporaneous notes, was deemed inaccurate by the second agent who'd been there, the first having quickly and inexplicably resigned before the trial. Scooter Libby was, I think, Dick Cheney's chief of staff And he was blamed for allegedly outing Valerie Plame as a CIA field agent. Now, she was employed by the CIA, but she was an analyst at Langley. She wasn't a field operative. She'd never been in the field, never done anything like that. But it was made to look as if he jeopardized the life of an American intelligence agent in the field, and it wasn't anything like that. Everybody knew she worked at the CIA, but that's how they made it look. They called for a special prosecutor. They I think he even went to jail over this trumped up crap, because these guys at that time were hating George W. Bush, and they were trying to do the same thing to W that they're trying to do to Donald Trump. The second tell in this. The Office of the Inspector General investigation focuses on information that I chose to share with a reporter through my public affairs officer and legal counsel. Now, as deputy director, I was one of only a few people who had the authority to do that. It was not secret. It took place over several days, and others, including the director, were aware of the interaction with the reporter. Now, again, the director at that time, James Comey. And I guess that as director and deputy director of the FBI, these guys were completely unaware. The Bureau has a remarkably well-staffed public affairs office, making leaks to reporters seem fundamentally unnecessary unless one is trying to manipulate news without being known as the source. In any event, the charge is that he lied multiple times about having directed his public affairs officer to leak. Many other instances of McCabe and his staff's misconduct have been reported and are not included in Attorney General Sessions' statement, but they seem certain to be revealed when the Office of the Inspector General reports are released. And, man, I wish they would hurry up and release that. They said the middle of March. Well, now we're at the end of March, and we're still hanging on, and it hadn't happened yet. And I want to get down to the meat of this thing. For example, James Comey, in congressional testimony, indicated that it was his deputy, Andy McCabe, dirty cop, who persuaded him that they should bypass the legal duty to notify the designated congressional leaders of the ongoing investigation of the collusion nonsense. Of course, he too, Comey that is, could have just been lacking candor. No doubt he was. And just as James Comey tried to pass the blame on to McCabe for not notifying Congress, McCabe seems to have put a bullseye on Comey's back. Comey, after all, denied to Congress that he had authorized any leaks, something in his statement Andy McCabe contradicts. It was Deputy Director McCabe who directed the work of Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, who had sent seemingly countless emails to each other revealing their pro-Hillary bias and their anti-Trump animus. Just this week, we learned from the newly released emails, which had been kept hidden from congressional investigators, that Peter Strzok had a close relationship with federal judge Rudolph Contreras, who sat in on the FISA courts. Now, we don't know yet whether he sat in on the particular panel that okayed the fishing expedition into Trump's campaign, but Judge Contreras originally sat on the Flynn case, too, until he was recused. The emails show Strzok and Page plotting to set up a social occasion with others and for the judge in which they could hide their private conversations with him. No records, no notes, no meetings, no signing into secure buildings, no signing out of secure buildings. Just a little social cocktail party where everybody gets together and talks about the grind of knowing what's best for America. So now, while working as one of the top counterintelligence officials at the FBI, Peter Strzok reportedly took part in the FBI's interview with Flynn on January 24th. Flynn later pleaded guilty to one charge of providing false information to federal investigators. Strzok later left the FBI to join Mueller's special counsel team, which obtained the indictment of Flynn. Now, there was a series of emails concerning this cocktail party, and they went like this. Somebody whose name is redacted, and this is an email which Peter Strzok sent to Lisa Page. Redacted suggested a social setting with others would probably be better than a one-on-one meeting. I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to invite you to that cocktail party. We have to come up with some other work people cover for action. Why more? Page responded. Six is a perfectly fine dinner party. Now, we don't know whether or not this party happened, and we don't know the name of the person who, you know, we don't know the person's name that was redacted in this email exchange. But Andrew McCabe was deputy director, and James Comey was the director at that time. And then, of course, there's this unseemly payment by Clinton allies of almost $700,000 to Andy McCabe's wife, who is a doctor. She was running for some minor office in Virginia and lost. And it may be that she wasn't even intended to win. Here's how it works in Virginia. Well, here's what happened. McCabe had been warned by the relevant department officials, probably people at the Office of Professional Responsibility, that there was a potential conflict with his wife receiving money in campaign donations from Clinton fans. He didn't say anything. And they took the money. And here's the thing. In Virginia, which is where this took place, Virginia election laws permit the candidate to retain whatever surplus is left over for personal use as long as the final campaign account has not been closed. She didn't get that money till like October. Yeah. Yeah, she's been running this week, also ran campaign. She gets this huge infusion of cash from former Governor Terry McAuliffe and some of his campaign finance people, which is Clinton all the way. She comes up short in the election, and she has a surplus of $650,000 that just leave that account open. She can keep it and do whatever she wants to with it, and I'm sure she is. So what's next? The House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence has completely stopped looking for any evidence of collusion between the Donald Trump campaign and Russian operatives of any kind. They say there is simply no evidence to be found. The Senate Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, they're going to keep on going. They're just going to trudge along empty-handed. This has gone on for over a year. Representative Adam Schiff, and I'm not going to say anything else, has tried to tell the Democrats to hold out hope. We're going to find evidence. It's out there. We're going to get it. There is no evidence. Because there wasn't any collusion. And plus, General Flynn this last week was in California campaigning for a guy who's running against Maxine Waters. So, and this is the biggest guy in the catch so far, General Mike Flynn, who pled guilty to one count of providing false information to an FBI. One count. And these guys didn't even think he was lying. But this is what they've done. This is what Robert Mueller's done and destroyed a fundamentally good man, a patriot. That's the biggest guy he's got. And if he's out campaigning for a guy who's running against Maxine Waters, Flynn may not be too worried about what Mueller's going to do or what he, you know, has to say. And we're going to get into Bob Mueller, too. That was one I meant to put on there. You know, we were talking earlier. Well, we're down at the bottom of the hour here. This thing is big. Andrew McCabe is mad. He's lost out on his pension. And, you know, these are the kind of guys that go, hey, you know what? If I go down, you're going with me. It's that big. There's no honor among these cats. They'll start selling each other out left and right. Have you wondered why you haven't seen Lisa Page or Peter Strzok in the limelight? They haven't, you know, no book tours for them, no speaking tours for them. Why? Because they are most likely cooperating with people at the Justice Department. That's a good thing. Well, we're down to the bottom of the hour, and you know what that means. That means we gamble. That means we gamble. We gamble on whether or not we're going to come back after the break with this microphone or if I'm going to have to call in. It's just the way it works. And looking through here, trying to find out something to play, and I need to go. Actually, I need to clean house on this is what I need to do. I need to get in here, and I need to get rid of all. Well, there's just a lot of mess I should get rid of in here. And and put in some new mess. That's what I need to do. I need to get in here, get rid of the old mess, and put in some new mess. We'll start out with this.
Everybody's gone away. Said they'll move into L.A. There's not a soul I know around. Everybody's leaving town. Some caught a freight, some caught a plane. Find the sunshine, leave the rain. They said this town will waste your time. I guess they're right, it's wasting mine. Some gotta win, some gotta lose. Good time, Charlie's got the blues. Good time, Charlie's got the blues. You know my heart keeps telling me you're not a kid at 33. You play around, you lose your wife. You play too long, you lose your life. I got my pills to ease the pain. Can't find a thing to ease the rain. I'd love to try and settle down, but everybody's leaving town. Some gotta win, some gotta lose. Good time, Charlie's got the blues. Good time, Charlie's got the blues. Good time, Charlie's got the blues.
One of these days, I'm not going to do a news and commentary thing. I'm just going to come in here, and I'm going to come loaded for bear with all this Southern fried doobie rock stoner music that I used to listen to when I wore a younger man's clothes. James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Also heard, and again, we do this live Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here at the studios of Patriot Nation Radio Network as well, and that's here on blogtalkradio.com. We also have a pre-recorded show that is aired on the Talk America Radio Network, and you can go to talkamericaradio.org, and they have two streams, the Liberty and the Justice stream, and you can find ACP on both of those streams at various times and days throughout the week. And and let me just tell you this, there's probably like 50 programs on the air over there. And, I'm like 48 in goodness. There are just some great hosts and great programs over there. Don Newman, Donna Fiducia, Denise Simon, the Conservative Cartel. It's so many. The names just, anyway, check them out. Check them out, Talk Radio, TalkAmericaRadio.org. Okay, we talked about Andy McCabe, dirty cop. Now we're going to talk about John Brennan, Admiral John Brennan, former head of the CIA, John Brennan, communist sympathizer. Don't believe me? I don't care. John Brennan, earlier this month, ranted, well, actually it was in February, ranted against Donald Trump, and he called him unstable, inept, inexperienced, unethical, and evidently And here's why he said it. Here's why he said it. This is why John Brennan said this. This idiot. He calls President Trump unstable, inept, inexperienced, unethical. And the reason he calls him these things is because President Trump had tweeted some kind of critical jab at Alec Baldwin, who's, you know, skewering him every week on Saturday Night Live. Do you guys remember when Alec Baldwin was a big star? You remember when he did movies? Beetlejuice. Yeah. Yeah, Beetlejuice. Hunt for Red October. I mean, dude, what the hell happened? Now you're some schmo on Saturday Night Live with a cast that's 30 years younger than you. Idiot. So these words. Okay, so like I said, Donald Trump is doing what Donald Trump does and what he's done better than any other president in history. He's gone to he has been able in the 21st century to take his message directly to the American people. He bypasses Fox, he bypasses MSNBC, ABC, CBS, PBS, all of them. They're all the alphabets. He just goes around them through Twitter. Well, Twitter's not going to delete or suspend his account. He's a president of the United Damn States of America. And he knows this. And he knows that tweets, even as a presidential candidate, even as Donald Trump, television mogul and real estate gazillionaire, they're not going to suspend his account because what Donald Trump, he's like E.F. Hutton, man. When Donald Trump tweets, people are on it. And he knows this. And he exercises this. A lot of people say that, he shouldn't be doing this. Well, the people who say he shouldn't be doing this are the people who don't want the president taking his message directly to the people. So, anyway, he does this. He tweets, fundamentally, Alec Baldwin, you're a jerk and you're a poor impersonation of me. Shut up already. So, based on this tweet, John Brennan loses his mind. Because Donald Trump's tweets are the laser pointer in a room full of kittens. And so then he goes crazy and he calls him all these things. Well, unstable, inept, inexperienced, and unethical. More accurately describe Admiral Brennan himself. He claims to be worried about the Russian threat to U.S. national security, which he accuses President Trump of irresponsibly ignoring. However, if we're honest, in and of itself is a shadow of the communist Soviet empire that it once was when Brennan was coming of age. And what does it say, by the way, and hang on to this, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. What does it say about Admiral Brennan's judgment when, by his own admission, he once voted for the Communist Party with Gus Hall? Even though Hall, by that time, had then been a longtime supporter of communist Soviet Union's hardline expansionist policies. What does expansionist policies mean? Global domination. Communist domination of the world. Brennan got through his first polygraph test to enter the CIA in 1980 by saying simply, I'm not a member of the Communist Party. But he didn't have any problems with voting for one of its most ardent pro-Soviet communist cheerleaders here in America, something he might have obscured during his CIA application process. Now let's go ahead. Let's go on to 2014, 44 years later. While Brennan was serving as CIA director under former President Barack Obama, Brennan referred then to Russia as simply a major power, not as an enemy of the United States or even a significant geopolitical threat. In 2016, a scant 2 years later, as the U.S. presidential election year was getting into high gear, Brennan reminisced that what stood out in his 35-year career in U.S. intelligence was when he welcomed the head of the Russian Federal Security Bureau, what the KGB is now. Okay, the FSB is what used to be the KGB. A guy by the name of Alexander Bortnikov to the CIA. And I walked with him across the lobby, across our infamous CIA seal there. That was rather surreal that the head of the FSB and the head of the CIA were walking together. Well, Gus Hall would have been so proud of the man that voted for him. Now, as for Russia's meddling in the U.S. presidential election during 2016, Brennan claims to have told the head of the Russian FSB with, you know, the guy he had that little cozy get-together with at CIA headquarters, that if Russia pursued its efforts to interfere, that it would destroy any near-term prospect for improvement in relations between the two countries. It was rhetoric. That's all he said. There wasn't anything to back it up, and they had no intentions of backing it up with any type of consequence. All Admiral Brennan really did when he was in office on the subject of Russian interference in the presidential election was to politicize the issue by pressing for an FBI investigation of alleged Russian collusion, where? Inside the Trump campaign. Still here, not dead air. Just taking a drink. Now, in a typical case of what we would call psychological projection, Brennan blames President Trump for not dealing effectively with Russia's meddling in the U.S. election process, when that's exactly what Brennan failed to do himself when he had the chance. And in trying to distance himself from the infamous Christopher Steele dossier, which played such a critical role in moving the collusion investigation forward, Brennan may have committed perjury in his testimony before the House Intelligence Committee in May of last year. Brennan claimed he didn't know who commissioned the Steele dossier and had no awareness whether the FBI ever relied on the Steele dossier as any part of the court filing. He also denied that the CIA had relied on the dossier. And according to a report by House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes, he plans next to investigate the role of former CIA Director John Brennan and other Obama intelligence officials and what they might have played in promoting, and we've said it a million times here, and James Comey himself said it, the salacious and unverified. And this has gone on for almost a year and a half, people, and they haven't come up with anything on anybody. This dossier on Donald Trump. And it includes whether or not Brennan may have perjured himself in public testimony. Now, there are a lot of people on Capitol Hill who said that Brennan, a fiercely loyal Obama appointee, was really talking up this dossier to Democrat leaders as well as the press during the campaign. They also said that he fed allegations about the Trump-Russia contacts directly to the FBI while pressuring the Bureau to conduct an investigation of several Trump campaign figures starting in the summer of 2016. So he's taking this information that he's making up. He's manufacturing information, claiming that it is evidence, sending it to the FBI, and demanding that they do something, get an investigation going in to these allegations of collusion between the Trump campaign and various operatives for the Russian government or powerful oligarchs or whatever. Now, if this can be proven, if this turns out to be true, then Brennan unethically abused his office as director of the CIA for politically partisan purposes to smear the opposing candidate, in this case Donald Trump, and then lied about it to Congress. Ouch. As bad as all this is, and it is bad, Brennan was at his worst when it came to the global Islamist threat. On May 26th, John Wayne's birthday, incidentally, May 26th, 2010, for example, while serving as Obama's Deputy National Security Advisor for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism. Brennan delivered a speech at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in which he claimed that Islamists or jihadists were not our enemies. He said that jihad is a holy struggle, a legitimate tenet of Islam, meaning to purify oneself or one's community. Throughout his tenure as both Obama's Deputy National Security Advisor and Central Intelligence Agency Director, Brennan fundamentally misunderstood the ideological underpinnings of ISIS that had its roots in traditional Islam as embodied in the Quran and in the words and actions of Prophet Muhammad. Islam began in the first place the same way that ISIS developed in carrying out and spreading its literalist dogma during Obama's presidency. It was a religion built on jihadist conquests to kill or subjugate disbelievers and make Islam supreme in the world. Back in 2010, in February, he was given a speech at a meeting at the Islamic Center in New York, the university there. It was facilitated by the Islamic Society of North America, which are tightly woven with the Muslim Brotherhood. Brennan, whom some claim became a convert to Islam himself, said that Islam helped to shape my own worldview. He said that Islam was a faith of peace and tolerance and great diversity. He added, "We're trying to be very careful and precise in our use of language because I think the language we use and the images we project really do have resonance. It's the reason why I don't use the term jihadist to refer to the jihadists." It gives them, the article says jihadist to refer to terrorists, but I say the term jihadist to refer to jihadists. It gives them religious legitimacy that they so desperately seek, but I ain't going to give it to them. They don't need your legitimacy, Admiral. In this speech, Brennan also referred to Jerusalem by its Arabic name, Al-Quds. He blamed overzealous enforcement by the U.S. government for creating an unhealthy atmosphere around many Muslim charities that made Muslims hesitant to fulfill their sacred obligation of zakat. Apparently, Brennan's blind to the fact that many of these charities were used as fronts to fund jihadism, including the notorious Holy Land Foundation for Relief and Development. Now, during this same speech, Brennan expressed satisfaction with the 20% recidivism rate among Guantanamo detainees, some of whom he acknowledged had participated in new terrorist attacks. They were letting these guys go. The worst of the worst of the worst is at Guantanamo Bay in a specially constructed military prison there, and that's where we want them. But Obama starts pardoning and paroling these guys, and the first thing they do is they go back into the field of operations, and they start looking at killing Jews, killing Yahidis, killing Americans, killing anybody who is not them. That's what they do. 20% isn't that bad, Brennan exclaimed. In 2011, it was this same John Brennan that called for the FBI to eliminate its, quote, offensive curriculum and training materials, which made reference to jihad and radical Islam. Remember, there is conjecture that Admiral Brennan converted to Islam. As CIA director, Brennan praised the Iranian regime for what he said were the concessions its leaders supposedly made to reach the agreement on Obama's disastrous nuclear deal. He claimed the deal was as solid as you can get. In fact, Obama made all the concessions, agreeing to a deal full of loopholes exploited by Iran, which in the end allows Iran a pathway to developing nuclear weapons and the missiles capable of delivering them. John Brennan, who entered the CIA despite his past support for the head of the U.S. Communist Party, rose to the top of the intelligence agency to become perhaps its worst director ever. He's the last person to give anyone advice on national security, let alone President Trump, who has had to clean up the mess left behind by Obama and Brennan. Well, look, guys, we're down. That's pretty much done. We got about 5 minutes left, and I'm going to knock off early, starting to get a little on the raspy side. We are under a winter storm watch here, or warning, actually, here in the first day of spring, and sometime tonight it's going to start snowing, and we could see upwards of maybe 6 or more inches of snow over the next couple of days. First day of spring. Yeah, I know. I'm digging it. I want to thank you very much for being here with us and allowing me the opportunity to visit with you and talk about a few things that I've seen over the last few days on the internet and share that. Once again, Tuesdays, Thursdays, live right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network at Blog Talk Radio. Thursdays is a really cool lineup because we have Mark Hoffman. I do it from 7 to 8. Mark Hoffman and the Patriot Nation Radio Live program comes in from 8 to 9 on Thursdays. Always compelling. Always got some good stories. Mark Hoffman is the man, and we consider ourselves, without a doubt, the most effective 1-2 punch in the new alternative media as we know it today. Thank you so much. We will be back next week taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. God bless each and every one of you all, and of course, God bless the United States of America. We'll see you on Thursday. Take care.